Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's trending brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive since 1942. Telly certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Of course, number one on What's Trending, it is Monday Night Football tonight right here on 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs Commanders, 7:16 official kickoff tonight. The Chiefs down to 10.5 point favorites. This continues to trickle down. Intriguing. It was as high as 12.5, and now down to 10.5, which quite honestly feels about right. We gave our score predictions earlier. I can't remember exact your number. You'll give it later on in the show, but that seems a little more right than thinking they're going to win by 14 points. I understand they just won by 31, but the Chiefs need this one, and they are significant favorites against Washington.
And rightfully so, I guess, based on where that is right now. Next up on What's Trending, it will also be MLB World Series Game 3. Gold's favorite. It's a Sports Equinox tonight.
Yep.
So you get NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NFL. But World Series Game 3, obviously knotted up at one game apiece. Absolute gem tossed on Saturday to get them back even. We'll see whether or not Tyler Glasnow can get the win for the Dodgers tonight.
Significant injury news in the NFL earlier today. Adam Schefter reporting that Ed Oliver, very good defensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills, is feared to have torn a bicep, going to be sidelined indefinitely. So at least out next week against Kansas City. The question is he going to be good enough to return late in the year or in the postseason for Buffalo? A big piece to their defense, already a defense that has struggled. They're coming off a huge performance, though, against Andy Dalton and the Panthers. But one to watch. Then also Pat Surtain, the second, dealing with an injury. We don't know the severity yet. Corner, very talented NFL Defensive Player of the Year corner for the Denver Broncos. So there's a chance. We'll see. There's a chance that the Chiefs could be playing Buffalo and Denver when they don't have some of their better defensive players. We'll wait and see on the timeline, specifically with Surtain.
What a difference one good defensive effort makes. Last week, they were like 14th or 15th in points per game. So far this week, depending on the results of the game tonight, they're currently 9th at 20.9 points per game. So still hovering around that top 10, although I'll admit that's still worse than they have been over the season. And they still haven't beaten anybody good. So I'm still waiting to see what Buffalo's got, which we'll get a chance to do next week. Next up on What's Trending, obviously over the weekend, K-State won the Sunflower Showdown easily. It was a complete blowout for the Wildcats in Missouri. Fell to Vanderbilt 17-10. Also most likely lost Bo Probula for an extreme lengthy period of time. So tough weekend for two of the three locals. Obviously two of them played each other. So K-State, the only one feeling good after Saturday.
You said it, Sports Equinox, man. This has only happened 32 times. 32 times.
We just talked about this. That's what's taking some of the juice out for me.
32?
I gotta say.
It's happening
more. But it
just
happened. We just talked about this.
This is now happening on a more regular basis than it used to. We have the big four sports all playing on the same day. MLB, as you said, with the World Series. Monday Night Football for the NFL. 11 regular season NBA games. 2 regular season NHL games. And then also Major League Soccer, MLS, has 2 playoff games tonight. So it's a sports equinox tonight. Uh-huh. Enjoy it. Enjoy it, Cody. Although
it's tough for the Chiefs, I don't get to enjoy it the same way. Normally, I'll consume a little bit of everything.
Not going to watch the World Series tonight. I'll be at Arrowhead.
It'll have to be on a back burner for me. You know, like an iPad situation is just to like keep an eye on it or to see what the score is after the fourth inning. You know, I don't like missing the World Series, but Chiefs are on tonight. That's got to be the focus of attention, all attention, as they try to get past the Commanders.
If you're looking for something to do before the game tonight, Monday, our friends over at 30 Hop, our lunch partner, they got $5.99 classic burgers. 30 Hop location out in Lee Summit, just down the street from us in Merriam at Merriam Grand Station. We've been telling you guys for a while now about our friends over at 30 Hop. It's an American bar and kitchen with those bold flavors, local taps. When the weather's nice, you got the unbelievable patios and an unbeatable happy hour. You can stay in for lunch. You can stop in for lunch, I should say. You can stay for happy hour. 30hop.com. Local beer, American eats, big patio.
Yeah, tonight, it's going to be interesting. You'd mentioned the get-in price is really not bad.
Yeah.
You were with a large contingent of Washington fans.
They're all over yesterday.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
Again, you don't come, like, if you're an NFC team, your team doesn't come to Arrowhead very often. So when they go to Arrowhead, you go. It's kind of like how you went to Lambeau when the Chiefs took on the Packers.
For
it's
sure.
Like, it's one of the very few historic stadiums, in the which is a whole other thing. And there was more rumblings of stadium stuff over the weekend, and Mayor Q seemed pretty bullish on Friday about, we're getting the streetcar and it's going to Washington Square Park, and just you wait, it's all going to be downtown baseball. And I kind of let that side die. So I don't know if he's just being bullish because he's the mayor of Kansas City, he's got to feel bullish, or there's some weight behind that. But when it's one of the very few historic stadiums and a stadium you don't know will be around forever, I'm not surprised when opposing fan bases, especially from NFC teams, when you don't get that many chances come out. So it was a pretty large contingent.
Yeah, good group. I don't know what overall, when you look at the crowd tonight, like, is it going to be noticeable? Also, their color scheme is not all that different. So I don't know how much you're going to notice it from the large photo. If I take a photo from the press box tonight, I don't know if you're going to be like, wow, looks like a lot of Commanders fans. It's going to be a lot of red, maroon, I guess, or whatever. It'll be a lot of red for Chiefs and Commanders tonight. But yeah, it was a good group. I know, like any road team, they had a rally last night at a local establishment as well. And it sounded like, from talking with Grant and Danny, who are going to join us here in a little bit, we'll ask them about it. It sounds like there was decent turnout. And then yesterday we were down at P&L watching just football all day, and most of the bar was Washington fans, people from out of town. You know, they probably do a quick Google search and like, oh, P&L is a pretty good place to go if you haven't, you know, from out of town and hang out. And a lot of them are probably staying in the plaza or downtown area.
It's an easy gathering spot.
Yeah, and so it was a good mix of people. Yeah, I would say they were definitely happy seeing the Cowboys get their ass kicked. I'll tell you that. Every time the Broncos scored, they were all cheering. I'm like,
oh, it's the opposite.
I was like, no, this is not what we should be doing here. But yeah, I was surrounded by Commanders fans, and we'll ask them about that. They're all wearing their Redskins gear still. Like, that's a whole thing there. That
the fan base,
their fans do hate the nickname. Well, I'll let them just explain it.
Commanders. I thought Washington football team was better than Commanders.
Agreed. And I have a new understanding, I guess, of the dynamics in DC with the name change and everything. And like tonight with they can't believe that we're allowed to do the tomahawk chop is what. So I'll let Grant and Danny talk about
the
it.
The Chiefs have tried to separate from
in a joking
branding.
Way. They said to close your fist instead. Give me a break. They still
play
the music.
I'm not saying
they
put any real effort, but
Yeah. Like I still do the tomahawk chop with everybody at the stadium as well. I mean, we'll get into it with them. I think we all recognize there's a difference between being called the Chiefs and being called the Redskins.
No, but yes, there's a massive difference there. I would argue the chop is the one thing, though, that there's not as much gray as the previous stuff we had mentioned. The name, the logo, that stuff, that's the only one that could be, I think, lumped into the rest of it.
I guess. It depends on how, you know, not to get too in the weeds here. It depends on how, I guess, strongly people feel about that directly. I would say also the time where they switched in different climates and where things are at societally, it would dictate what people's feelings were and how likely something would need to change or something like that. Reminder, coming up in about 25 minutes or so, we'll get to the random question of the day here on Cody and Gold. But I was hanging out with a couple folks from DC over the weekend, and there was a good grouping of them. We've got Grant and Danny from our sister station in DC, 106.7 The Fan, joining us. I was on with them on Friday. I do a weekend show with Grant, so he deals with me, and he pokes the bear a little bit about the Chiefs when he can. So we have a good time. You guys have been in KC since Saturday night, right? So let's just start there. How's Kansas City been so far for you guys? And it seems like a lot of Commanders fans are here.
There are a ton of Commanders fans here, and I think the reason is Washington comes here about every 8 years. So for a lot of us, including myself, you're checking a stadium off of the bucket list, so to speak. So I'm down to like 4 in the NFL I've never been to, just the way things have worked out with travel. I was on the beat at one point for a 4-year cycle and didn't come here. So a lot of fans that I've talked to were pumped to come out to Arrowhead and experience that. But yeah, we've had a great time.
It's been awesome.
Jack Stack treated us very, very well.
There you go.
The burn ends were delicious. Yes, that was excellent. We're doing this place very specific to you guys, I think, right now. Our producer's on his way to, is it Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A. It's an
Real Midwestern. Casey staple. Exactly. That's good. Yeah. I'm glad you guys had a good time.
Local eats,
indeed. Posted up at a bar for about 7 hours. Didn't get off my ass yesterday. Watching all the games. It was good.
Played a couple hours of pickleball this morning in Kansas. Aces Pickleball Club out there.
I actually haven't been there.
The owner's from the D.C. area and heard that we were in town. I was like, yeah, come on. So it was
nice.
But when I agreed to do it, I was like, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And then I went, oh, that's a 45-minute Uber ride. Okay, here we go. Like, I was already
well, we heard, is it JP that does middays for you? Is
yes.
That,
yes.
Okay. I was walking in today and an Escalade pulls up, fancy car. And I don't know if this is his style or whatever. He gets out of the vehicle and he says, he's like, hey, can you let me in the building? And I said, sure. He goes, sorry, long day. Yesterday I flew into Wichita. I said, what the hell are you flying? Wichita's 3.5 hours west of here. He flew into Wichita, golfed, and then took a 3.5 hour Uber to Kansas City and did his show today. You guys not help him out with the travel plan? What is he flying into Wichita for?
They've got a different budget on middays than we do, apparently.
Yeah. There is golf in Kansas City. You are allowed to play here.
They were apparently, one of the top...
Prairie Dunes out there, I believe. It's a very nice course. Yeah.
So the midday show, which is Brian Mitchell, who should be in the Hall of Fame and hopefully will, is second all-time to Jerry Rice in yards in the league, one of the great return men ever, and JP, who you're talking about. Those guys love golf. So Danny and I... we've never golfed. We'll never golf. And talking about golf for one single second is the bane of our existence. So very, very different in that regard. But their trips often are based around golf courses.
Yeah, for them, it's a golf trip with a football game in addition.
For us, it's what is the local cuisine and where are we going to go in this
barbecue
stadium?
And pray for
a
cover tonight.
I like that better. I like that trip better.
We came here for a cover and heading home. That's it.
The line keeps going down, guys. Down to 10.5.
Marcus Mariota, man.
You can catch the excitement.
You can only hope to contain him.
It's a real bummer about this game is the truth because we all, I've seen the Chiefs play the Bills. I've seen the Chiefs play a lot of these teams. It was like young quarterback coming off his rookie of the year campaign, Monday Night Football, Arrowhead. I'm like, hell yeah, this game's going to be great. I'm going to watch Marcus Mariota and a slightly beleaguered defense. That doesn't excite me the same way
slightly
that this game
is very kind. I appreciate that.
did before. Well, again, the defensive line was struggling before and then you guys lost Armstrong. So I guess from that perspective, is that why I think more than Mariota, the defensive effort from Washington is why this spread is as high as it is.
Yeah, they're atrocious. The focus of this offseason was we're going to stop the run. And we think that by transitivity will help us stop the pass, get into better situations, get into second longs, third and longs. I have never seen a worse group in second and long in the history of my time watching this.
Yeah, if you're second and 21 tonight, you got them right where you want them.
Lined up perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. A drive against Dallas where there were multiple 10-plus yard penalties, and it was laughable. They made Dallas get 34 yards, and they did it so casually. Well,
the best one was the Chargers game where they had a second and 17. Justin Herbert gets 21. There's a holding penalty. So now it's second and 27. They get 31. And then there's another penalty on
illegal
some
formation.
Backup lineman. And so Justin Herbert's like, I just want to go home to Madison Beer. Like, this is get me out of here. This is the worst place ever.
Yeah.
But, this defense is a gigantic problem. They are without their top three defensive ends now. And that wasn't a strength anyway. Coming into the year, one of our biggest concerns in town was, can they get pressure? Who's at end? And basically, their starters, Dorrance Armstrong and Dietrich Wise. Armstrong, who's their only... sacker with more than half, he's got a half dozen. And then on the other side, Wise, who's their run stuffer, both out. And then one of their top other run stuffers, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who they drafted last year, is also out. So it's Von Miller, who can only really play on passing downs, now playing on rundowns, which is a problem. And on the other side, a kid named Jacob Martin, who's a bit of a journeyman, is going to play a lot, hustle guy who gets some pressures. But stopping the run has become a big, big issue. They're very good on the interior. Deron Payne, who is questionable to play with a toe issue. He's coming off of his best game in a couple years. He's a former Pro Bowler, fringe All-Pro, one of the most expensive D-tackles in the league. And then they've also got Javon Kinlaw, who everybody thought got overpaid this offseason, including us,
yeah.
$15 million a year. He has been excellent. He is a very noticeable, violent, physical player at the point of attack. But last week didn't really show up in Dallas.
And so what people have been doing is they go, all right, we're just not going to go in the middle then. We'll just outside runs. Atlanta did this, exposed them really badly. They really struggled there. They struggled against Dallas, I thought, with kind of off-tackle stuff or pitch plays or kind of stretching you out. All of a sudden, I think that's been vulnerable as well, in addition to every throw is a good idea against them.
The other thing is Bobby Wagner, who everybody knows is a future Hall of Famer, one of the great players in the league the last 15 years. he is incredible in the tackle box. So, like, when you are coming downhill between the tackles, doesn't miss tackles, one all year, just as good as there is still in the league at 35 years old at that. Anything where he's got to move horizontally, where he's got to run, where he's got to be
exposed
in space.
Oh, my God.
Massive liability. And so any handoff to Isaiah Pacheco, like guard to guard, is a gift. And I will gladly send a coupon to your favorite barbecue spot.
The only tough spot that they have on the line tonight. So, like, interior, they got one of the best centers in the league. So they're good at least from one spot. But they are still starting a first-year guy at guard in Kingsley, who has done fine and has held his own, but is still young, but also a backup right guard we expect to go tonight in Caliendo. So, like, there is some advantage there, but you're telling me that they can just step back and throw.
Yes.
So, like, if that's the case, well, then I fear less of it because the Chiefs weapon-wise are about as deep as they've ever been, at least 1 through 5 or 6. And so, like, I do wonder how Washington – that's why we're, like, I view the game as, like, how do they keep it close? It's like, they got to run. Marcus Mariota, I was looking at his passing yards numbers for any of the games he starts. It's embarrassing. He throws for like 160 yards a game.
So
every time he starts.
The two starts he's had this year to that point, that one was against the Raiders, who you guys just got to know pretty well.
Yeah.
They didn't need to throw the ball.
I like to play them again.
They ran all over them, and Mariota was actually phenomenal in that game. The other start was Atlanta. He threw a bad interception, but by and large, it's funny. Like, the drop-off from Daniels to Mariota is not what you would expect necessarily. Their offense operates. They move the football. If Terry McLaurin, who's back tonight, if Deebo Samuel, who's back tonight, their offense kind of goes through him. If those guys are themselves, I'm not really overly concerned about Marcus Mariota. Like, is he Jaden Daniels? No, but he's one of the best at read option in the league. He'll rip off a 15, 20-yard run at some point. You know, he's going to throw for 175, 200 yards. He's going to run for 35 or 40. They're going to move the football okay. The problem with this team, even without Jaden Daniels, is the defense. And I think you guys will be able to do whatever you want.
We've got Grant and Danny from our sister station in D.C., 106.7 The Fan, joining us. They're getting ready to hop on the air for their show. You guys are going to Arrowhead for the first time, obviously. We just talked about that. I was telling my co-host, Cody, you guys were asking yesterday about, you know, how early you should get to the game and everything. And I was saying, Monday Night Football, traffic and everything, you guys are about to experience, I don't know how it is in D.C., one of the worst parking situations getting in and out of a parking lot in the NFL. So just, you got that look forward to. And then the best atmosphere, I do think, in the NFL. So are you guys excited to at least be in? You're going as fans, right?
Yeah, just regular old schlubs.
All right.
We're pumped about it, man. It's one of the main reasons we wanted to come. Like, obviously, yeah. It would have been cool if Washington was as good as advertised, and we could have seen maybe a more marquee matchup, a potential, you know, Super Bowl preview, God willing. But, you know, it's obviously not the cards we were dealt here at this point. But just going into an atmosphere like that is really, really neat.
You guys will get to see the tomahawk chop tonight and everything.
Can't wait. Yeah, the hypocrisy.
You guys get to do it.
Hypocrisy in its highest form.
You guys don't sound jealous at all about this.
With a team named the Commanders, we'll be watching you guys going,
That's right.
We wanted to see it up close and personal. I do want you guys to know, I don't want you also canceled. I just want to get back in the club, okay? That's what I want.
So I told him, and like, I know everybody in Kansas City doesn't agree with me, you have me on the chop, but the rest of it is just different, in my opinion. The imagery, the nickname, all of it is different than the chop is the only one I can't. Like, I don't have much of an argument for that one's riding a line versus or outside the line, depending on what it is. The rest of them, though, like the nickname, the imagery they use, they got rid of all the problematic stuff, if that makes sense. Other than
they don't have
war paint on the sideline anymore.
That all said, it would all still exist if not for their owner having been Dan Snyder. And that was the big problem. Like, if Washington, not Kansas City, had drafted Patrick Mahomes and was winning the Super Bowl, and their owner was Clark Hunt and not Dan Snyder, they would still be named the Redskins. I really do believe that. But that wasn't the case. Their owner was hated. He was a jackass.
Rightfully so.
And he should have been hated. He was one of the worst people and owners in sports history.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
And now we have the worst name in the National Football League to look forward to. Danny refuses to say it.
The Washington football team was a better name than
Syntax-wise, it was hard for us, you know, where you'd go, you know, in the division, like Dak Prescott is a Cowboy. Jalen Hurts is an Eagle.
He's a member of the Washington football team.
Yeah, this guy's a football. This guy's a team. Like, you can't really do that. It's the reason we didn't love that, because we have to talk about them all the time.
Sure.
Yeah, I prefer that to that stupid made-up word that was just sort of this generic, you know, AI-generated Build-A-Bear type thing where please don't make fun of us anymore and don't be mean. We'll just be this and kind of
wave at it. You guys were explaining to me yesterday a little bit more, and I saw it firsthand. There were plenty of Commanders fans at the bar we were at watching the games, and a lot of people are still wearing Redskins gear and everything. And you guys were kind of filling me in more in the background. How much they're like, I've always said, if we used to get text on this when there was a little more pressure, I would say, on the Chiefs organization from the outside that, you know, they're going to have to think about changing their name and all this kind of stuff. And we would get texts and people like, if they change the name, I'll never root for them again. And I always rolled my eyes like, you're not going to root for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But you guys were explaining to me, you thought the same thing there. Yeah. And there are legitimately fans there and not just like the random text line guy. Legit fans, diehard fans that don't root for the team anymore?
So
that seems wild to me.
Irrefutably, yes, the tent has gotten smaller, and there are lots of fans who have either had their passion wane or checked out. That is irrefutably a thing. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I've always said, I think the analogy I use is, I love Coca-Cola Classic, right? If you put another name on the can and you change the color and it's still Coca-Cola, it's going to be the same damn thing. Because I still got the memories of having the bottle at Christmas time, and it's just my drink. And I no longer think that. It's not the same thing. Mm. I turn on the games. The colors have changed. Sometimes they wear black and gold like the Steelers, which means nothing. The name is something I don't know. It's an expansion team in a lot of ways for a lot of people. It's not the same thing. So, yeah, we have definitely seen a difference. You saw it. The majority of diehard fans, maybe not the majority, but a ton of them, changed a little bit last year because they accidentally stubbed their toe into an NFC championship game.
And then they felt like they had to have some of the gear.
Exactly.
In order to get
all of a sudden, everybody has a Commander's gear that hates it.
We literally ran into a guy yesterday. Like everyone, two of the three guys are wearing Redskins gear. The third guy, and we're kind of like, oh, the Commander's gear. It was a gift. It was a gift. I never have got it on my own. I mean, like, that's the level of disdain people have for this stupid name.
They really hate the name Commanders. We get people threatening to not be a Royals fan if they go to Kansas. So I take it with a grain of salt a lot of times. Like, okay, sure, you're just never going to root for the Chiefs again if you have to go watch them at the Legends, I'm sure.
It feels very, if this person wins, I'm moving to Canada.
Yeah.
But more people move to Canada from this fan base than you would have thought.
We have some Canadians now.
Yeah. There are a lot of people who just don't care that
Mike
much.
Mike Florio claimed he was going to quit. If they let Tyree Kill back in the league, he was going to quit working. It's not like he stopped.
Right. Where does he work now? I haven't heard it. Is he still? No, he is covering the league
still. Yeah, he does cover the league still. Yeah.
It's interesting how that happened.
Before he did maintain his work.
Before he lets you guys go, how do you think it goes? Is this going to be closer than people think? The line is going down. It's 10.5. Was that 12.5, I think, on Friday?
What was Patrick Mahomes' prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to shoehorn this in.
Yeah.
We're pretty much going to woodshed him, dog. It's going to be like Coach Reed's going to expose Bobby Wagner, obviously. I'll throw it up like 10, 15 balls of triav. Go down to Rasheed Rice.
This is kinda, extremely country, Patrick.
Kind of woodshed all these guys. And,
he's
you know,
from Texas.
My brother's going to do a bunch of TikTok dances. I know y'all can't respond to that because you're afraid of it. But basically, it's going to be an easy, casual game. We're looking forward to Buffalo next week, dog, for real.
Got it.
I've got a cover. And a loss for the Washington 53. I think it's going to be like 34-24, something like that.
33-23 kind of for me with just like a meaningless empty calorie field goal just to make everyone feel better.
Just like
at some point.
Ooh, yeah. You did it. I mean,
hey,
look,
nice job.
The disadvantage I think they have tonight is that normally you would be the more desperate team. NFC's kind of getting away from you. Yep. You're hoping to stay afloat till your starting quarterback's
back.
Well,
they still are, though, but there's nothing you can do about it. You got no counterpunch.
Yeah, but also, like, Kansas City still, like, they have to win.
Right.
Their three games after this are Buffalo, at Denver, and against Indianapolis. They can't, like, let up tonight.
So that's interesting.
Knowing
you say
what
that,
they're up against.
Because that is the only case I've made is maybe because you got the Bills next week, maybe because they've been back on track and kind of celebrating that, you accidentally look past Washington.
Everybody in the AFC won yesterday.
Yeah.
They all hammered their opponents.
Yeah, I'd be way more concerned. I think I told you guys Friday. If this team was undefeated, one loss team, I would worry about them. Said, this is a game you can look past. They don't
look
have that
him.
Luxury. So I know you guys got to hop on the air. Great to have you guys in Kansas City. Enjoy the game tonight. Make sure you send some videos out about the tomahawk chop. I'm sure Grant won't do that at all.
You don't have to worry about that.
There's plenty of documentation.
Yeah,
perfect. All right.
We're in it.
That's Grant and Danny from our sister station, 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Up next, you mentioned, Cody, how the rest of the AFC fared. Let's dive a little bit deeper into that, including how we're feeling about Buffalo now. That's coming up on Cody and Gold.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, back here on Cody and Gold, thanks again to Grant and Danny from our sister station in D.C., giving their perspective on their trip so far in KC. Obviously, what they make of tonight's game as well. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 8 minutes or so. The text line is back. I feel connected with all of you again.
You could have gone over on YouTube or Twitch. There's people talking over there.
The first 2.5 hours of the show, I couldn't get the text line to work, and I'm back. And I'm excited. I didn't like not knowing what the people were thinking and what their vibes are for the game tonight. And now it's back up. 913-586-7965. Very excited about that.
I think it'll be fun. Monday Night Football. We just talked about this. Sunday Night Football. Prime time. I just, like, the only thing that's holding back the juice of this game is the opponent. It is not the rest of it. It is not the Patrick Mahomes. It's not the points that they're scoring. It's not everything else besides it. But that's why, like, when we eventually give these score predictions later on in the show, I am at the point now, until otherwise noted, we'll be assuming the Chiefs are scoring 30-ish. Like, I'm not saying that that's the bottom, but that's the bottom end number for me for a while. Maybe a little bit less against Denver, knowing what they can do defensively. But the Chiefs have scored 30 points in 3 of their last 4 games. And so I'm having, and 28 in the loss against Jacksonville, a team that I thought that they should have scored more against. So they're averaging over 30 points a game over their last 4. Hell, probably averaging over 30 points a game over their last 5, if I even had to lump in the 22 points they scored against the Giants. So I expect some points tonight, Gold, no doubt about it. But meanwhile, what I mentioned to them is the problem I think Commanders are going to have tonight is if there was any doubt that they could, like, kind of take it easy in the game tonight. Every single team ahead of them in the AFC standings wrecked their opponent yesterday and made it clear that the Chiefs are not going to be able to just, like, be let back into the conversation for the number one seed, for the records that, like, sit above them. And instead, they were going to have to, like, earn it the real way, which is just go out there and get wins. No one was going to just, like, let them in the door. Colts hammered their opponent. Patriots hammered their opponent. Broncos hammered their opponent. Hell, the Steelers, the only team ahead of them in the schedule that actually lost the damn game against the Packers. Bills and Chargers this week, Chargers going back to Thursday, all crushed their opponents. The Jags were on a bye. One team ahead of them in the AFC standings lost. It was the Steelers, a team we already didn't take serious.
Mm-hmm.
All the ones we do, 1-1 convincingly. Look, probably the most impressive for me was the Broncos because of what they did against Dallas's offense, not what they scored against Dallas's defense, but what they did. But I'm done doubting the Colts. I don't care if it's the Titans or not. I'm done doubting them. I don't know why I would at this point. Their offense is incredible.
So a couple things with the results. Yeah, I mean, look, I wanted to see Buffalo defensively out of the bye week. No excuse not to slow down Andy Dalton and the Panthers. They didn't just slow them down, though. They were dominant. The Panthers had nothing going all day long. But now they lose Ed Oliver. So I'm in the same boat with the Bills defensively. You know, it was still Carolina. You know, the Broncos, I think you're right. It's more about the Broncos defense shutting down the Cowboys' top offense than it is that the Broncos scored on the Cowboys' terrible, worst NFL defense this
year. Maybe Cincinnati,
you
yeah.
know, that to me was where I viewed that game. So, like, yes, you know, the Chargers did it early in the week against a Vikings team that's not that good. The Broncos did it against a Cowboys team that's not that good. The Bills did it against a Panthers team that's not that good. So, yeah, they all won in impressive fashion. It wasn't like any of them faced off against legitimate playoff threats, though. So that's where I don't want to act like, oh my gosh, now everybody should look out for these teams. But yeah, look, the Colts, I've told you I'm sure in Indy I would be considered a strong Indianapolis Colts hater. I'm just still skeptical. You can say, what else do they have to do? And that's fair. They're beating up everybody on their schedule. It's just what they did to the Titans doesn't change my feeling. The Titans stink. Cam Ward stinks. That whole organization stinks in Tennessee. So what they did, even in dominating fashion, doesn't change a whole lot of my vibe. I'm still convinced that, you know, this is a team that when we get to week 18, we'll be trending towards the Minnesota Vikings of last year direction, which remember was a 14-win team. And then Darnold started looking like crap the final 2 weeks and then lost in the opening round of the playoffs. Now the difference, and I think it's a good point you made, is they have a rushing attack and the Vikings didn't. And that's
they can
fair.
Score. They're scoring Jonathan, 33 points a game.
The Jonathan Taylor aspect of this is bad. Jonathan Taylor is playing at a crazy level. He's not going to win MVP. We don't need to have that conversation. Running back do not win that award. But they have everything you kind of want in a complete team in Indianapolis.
And look,
I was just going to say, I mean, overall, the AFC conversation to me hasn't changed that much from a week ago, though. It's kind of the same boat. The Chiefs are going to have to catch the Broncos. They got two games against them. They're going to have to catch the Colts. If we're talking number one seed, they get the Colts. They play Buffalo next week. Like, it's all still there for Kansas City. And if tonight they have a nice win against the Commanders, then they're sitting at 5-3. And you're in a spot where you say, all right, can you, in a weird way, steal one on the road at Buffalo? And then you're 6-3 going into a bye week. And I think considering everything that would have happened, you'd be feeling great about Kansas City's position, even how the Broncos and Colts are looking.
Oh, they win the next two games, then. I mean, already spirits are high because they're scoring and they're blowing teams out and they're winning fairly easily in a majority of their games. That Jacksonville one aside, at least for the moment. Nobody's running away with it ahead of them right now, except for the two full games they are, even if they win tonight, behind Indianapolis, a team on their schedule. The Broncos ahead of them on their schedule, the Colts ahead of them on their schedule, the Bills ahead of them, Chargers, all these teams they still face, including the Broncos a couple of times. So they got plenty of, we can just beat the teams ahead of us in order to do it. But I mean, at some point, I can't keep dismissing. You say this, we've talked about this with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The moving of goalposts. I'm not saying anybody played some.
My goalposts for the Colts have been firm all year. That's the issue, is I'm not moving them. I'm stuck on how I feel about Indianapolis.
Sure.
It's the opposite.
But like when you start talking about the, and I'm not, yeah, maybe not you specifically on them, but like when we start looking at these teams, I am going to have to take them for what they are at some point, which is the Colts, the team that's won four games in a row. The Patriots have won five games in a row. The Broncos have won five games in a row. And I know they should have lost that game to the Giants. And seemingly that win propelled them into some real confident stratosphere. And so what it turns into now is who I fear the most for the number one seed versus who I would fear the most in the playoffs.
Two different things, I think.
I'm not, yes. I'm not there yet, right? In the sense that you told me right now, I get to choose my opponent in the playoffs for the AFC title game. Would I choose the Colts last? Come on. Gold? No. I would obviously choose the Bills as the team I would want to face the least. Right now, as of today, October 27th, that is a team I would least want to face in an AFC title game scenario. I'm not saying the Colts have catapulted into that stratosphere yet, but they are a problem for a lot of teams. And the fact that they're doing, like, yeah. I don't know if it's like greatest show on turf, they're doing the kind of stuff that the 2018 Chiefs were doing offensively. I'm not going to just ignore that regardless of opponent.
No, they're going to win that division. Yeah, and they're going to win that division, and they're going to be at minimum a top two or three seed. In the AFC, I think top three is like a guarantee for them at this point. The question is, are they going to be a top two seed or the number one overall seed? I still, you're right. Results have to speak for themselves at some point. I still, though, with that said, remember a couple years ago, we talked about Pittsburgh and they were at one point a 10-win
and
team.
And we said, we don't take
and
them
we
serious.
All said, yeah, but they're really not that good. That's kind of where I'm not even. It's not
but
even,
I watch the Colts and I think that they are good. That's the difference, I guess.
Yeah, I just still sit back and unless this is the outlier of all outliers and it's the once every 15 years Trent Dilfer run, Joe Flacco run, Brad Johnson run, like, and I know Daniel Jones is playing at a better level than Brad Johnson did when the Bucks won the Super Bowl. I understand that and he gets a lot of credit. I have the same vibes though and a little bit of the say it out loud test. Do I think that out of Mahomes and Allen and potentially Bo Nix and whoever else we think is going to be in the playoff field, that Daniel Jones is going to emerge And that's what I can't get over. And
no, I get it.
I can easily be proven wrong if you know. And frankly, like depending on what the Chiefs do against the Colts, if the Chiefs lose by a field goal to the Colts or something, it's a different story for me than if they get blown out. Like if the Chiefs just lose and Butker misses a 55-yard field goal and they lose by a point, that's at that point I still would say, yeah, I'll take the Colts again. Now, if the Chiefs get beat up by the Colts and have no answer defensively for the Colts offense, then I might have a different answer for you in about 3 weeks or so.
Everyone's going to decide on that game and just entrench their opinion based on that. Because, like, if the Chiefs win by a point, you're going to be like, see, they stink. Yeah. And it's not that they stink, right? They are a serious – I think they're a serious contender in the AFC. Yeah. Doesn't mean I would predict them, and I wouldn't put them above a couple of teams.
I want to look at it with this Colts schedule at this point in time. If they're the number one seed, they get
at Pittsburgh for their next opponent.
No, I mean, both. Who they've played already. What I was getting at was the weather aspect of it, too. And the Colts – if they're the one seed, it doesn't matter. They will host every single playoff game in a dome, perfect 75-degree weather, whatever. But they have they played outdoors all that much this year?
They have played outdoors in Miami. Okay. Although, you know, not really. Outdoors in Denver.
And it was warm still.
Outdoors in Tennessee. Their first three games were all outdoors. Los Angeles and Vegas, Arizona all inside, Los Angeles inside.
They go to Pittsburgh. They go to Pittsburgh November 2nd. That's coming up, and I'm assuming the weather will be a little colder. Now the Steelers defense stinks. But when's their first cold? Maybe the Chiefs game might be the first time the Colts play a true cold weather game. I just want to see how that offense operates.
And they won't play another one the rest of the season, by the way.
Yes, that's all.
Houston twice, Jacksonville twice, Seattle and San Francisco. They legit will not play another cold weather game. Yeah. So to your point of like the playoffs, sure. But they might not have to deal with that in the playoffs,
correct.
You know? So.
Correct.
If Jim Irsay's daughter is anything like Jim Irsay, they leave the roof open and the windows open in the building if it's 40 degrees or higher. So they play when it's – they open the roof all the time. Like, it's not a dome. It is a full-blown retractable roof. Yes. Yes. Lucas Oil Stadium is full-blown retractable.
I'm not pretending to know that one way or the other. That would surprise me.
They open.
Oh, it's retractable, but you're telling me that's the same as playing in 15 degree weather at Arrowhead in January?
No, I'm not saying that it is, but to just assume that it's an indoor game when Jim Irsay notoriously opened, he had the roof is open and the windows are open if it's 40 degrees or higher. That's like a thing that he'll tweet out before the game. It's 45, windows are open.
So in January, they will have
windows.
You think there's a good chance the roof will be open?
I don't think so.
No, because it's not 45. That's what I just said. If it's 40,
but I'm talking about the playoffs.
I understand, but to act like, but the whole conversation is going into off of what their schedule's been. They've
correct.
Had home games this year. They've been open. It's not like they've only played.
But no, my point is, like, my point is, it's cold weather. Not like is literally like the sky being shown. Like is the I'm talking about is it cold in where they play? They have not played a cold weather game yet. That's all.
Well, yeah, I mean it's October 27th.
Correct.
I think Cody, your argument for the Colts should be that they've toasted everybody they've played essentially. The Vikings last year, they won one score games multiple times. Like they were getting all of the good luck that they had the one year that they had Kirk Cousins to where they were winning all those close games. Exact same last year. The Colts are beating everybody by double. It's not like they're just beating them. They are rolling over their opponents. That's why I'm on the side of you of. The Colts are the team, I think, because they are destroying every single team that's in their way. Bad or not, they're doing what they're supposed to do with really bad teams, and that's not giving them any sort of an ounce of hope, basically. Where the Vikings
Denver
last year, I felt like...
It's just tough because, like, I think Denver and the Colts should be feared about the same. Denver, because they are elite on defense, and the Colts, because currently they are elite on offense. Like, they both possess side of the football that makes them incredibly dangerous. That's all. Like, I just view them. And look, those two teams played a very close football game in which Denver could have easily won it. They committed a penalty at the end and gave the chance to Colts to kick a game-winning field goal a second time.
So. I'm just saying, I would gladly, if you tell me that the Chiefs' path towards another Super Bowl involves them getting to play the Colts instead of in past years when they played Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, or even Joe Burrow 3 years ago in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I don't have to face Josh Allen and the Bills because the Colts beat the Bills and the Chiefs get to go to Indy for an AFC title game instead of having to go to Buffalo. I will take going to Indy 1,000%
at some point.
It is still a quarterback league. And I understand Daniel Jones is playing great, but he's not exactly Josh Allen. So, that's where I'm at on the Colts. Like, and yes, I still think they haven't played anybody. Their schedule's a schedule, but they will not play anybody until they play Kansas City. If you look, their schedule's easy.
They've beaten two current playoff teams in the playoffs.
Easy. They beat the Broncos in week two when the Broncos, to me, were not playing at the level.
They played the Colts and they played three playoff teams. Rams, Colts, and Broncos. So, like, I don't think they've played
anybody.
But
they are the Colts. They are the Colts.
Rams,
who was
Chargers,
the third?
And Broncos.
Chargers.
They faced three playoff teams. They beat two out of the three. So, you know, like... Yeah. Of seven games, they played some, or eight games? Eight games. They played some difficult games.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Don't forget, you can always interact with us on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. We live stream the show 4 hours every day. See Golden Iron Red, Drew's in, I don't know, tan.
Not green?
No, not green. He didn't like switch to the Jets, at least this side. Or over on the text line, 913-586-7965. So we can talk more about that a little bit later. Question I have today is about Halloween on Friday. Now, I'm not here to give you the Bink story where he was saying Halloween's only for children and the rest of you for dressing up as silly.
We have a remote on Friday. You better be ready.
We're going to be out at 1800 South Outer Road in Blue Springs for the Community America Red Friday tailgate. Same rules typically apply. Food for the first 100 people. They always have tickets to give away as well. Should be a great time out there, Community America. But you had told me, and you told me that you were planning on a costume.
We said we were going to have to wear one for the remote. So I said, all right, I'll come up with something.
Because, you know, like, we aren't usually out and about on Halloween, so it kind of made sense. I had not purchased a costume yet. And I guess the question I have today is, as an adult, how often are you getting a new costume? Because I don't want to get it every year.
Yeah.
I want to recycle some or reuse some. What's a standard practice of how often I can get a costume? Look, for the people who love Halloween, I know plenty of people do, get a new costume every year. I don't care if you do. I'm saying, what is standard practice here for everybody who's like medium on Halloween, but whose kids still trick-or-treat?
I mean, I haven't
worn. Do you think I need a new one every year they go trick-or-treating?
So you have kids, so it's a little bit different. I haven't worn a Halloween costume in at least 5 years. So I bought one this year, and it's you'll find out on Friday. You guys can find out on Friday what it is. I think it's fitting for the current conversation that is ongoing around sports and stuff. So, yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out. So 5 years, once every 5 years for you?
Yeah, I guess. That's what it's been.
Is it Halloween party dependent? Like if you're going to
I mean, if we weren't doing this remote on Friday, I would not have gone and bought the stuff I need for the costume.
I guess the question is like, can I just get like one kick-ass costume? Like someone says, I just wear my Teen Wolf costume every year.
Perfect.
Can I just get one Teen Wolf costume and that's who I am for Halloween?
I think so.
My family, my kids and I, and never did when we were kids either, we don't wear matching costumes. We're not all dressed up like members of Toy Story. Didn't do when they were kids, not doing it now. So, like, that's not a thing that to continue.
You guys don't
with.
Do that. Okay.
No, my kids don't even match. Yeah. They don't want to match. They got their own things they want to be for Halloween. So, we don't do it. I don't care if you do that. I don't care if there's plenty of families who do it. You guys want to do that? Cool. My kids don't care to dress up in matching costumes, so we don't do it. So, I'm just asking, can I just get one and do it? Someone says the standard would be for adults not to dress up, but kids like it. Like, if you're trick-or-treating, they kind of like it.
If you're trick-or-treating with your own kids, then it makes sense that you would dress up with them as well. People are more, I guess, critical of this than I would think.
Of just costume?
On the adult, like, there's a lot of people texting and they're very just, like, anti, like, you're a kid, or you're a kid, fine. And once you're an adult, even if you're with your kids,
more people than you thought.
No costumes.
Why? What's the matter? There's no harm in it. I don't care that adults like, other people can like different holidays. That, by the way, that's like saying you can't like, you know, can't like Christmas just for kids. Like, it's not a holiday. We have a kid activity around it. I got kid activities around Hanukkah and Christmas.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gold, you're not allowed to celebrate parts of Hanukkah. That's only for the kids. It's just, I don't know. I was asking how often. I don't want to buy a costume every year. I don't mind occasionally putting on a costume, take my kids out trick-or-treating. Or if I have, I get invited to a Halloween party every year. I guess the question is, can I just wear the same costume every year? Or is that,
you see, is that no text good? Line? A lot of people saying parents this year are going to overdo and they're going to have, like, the mom will wear 6 and the guy, the husband's going to wear 7 and they're just going to wear 6-7 shirts. That's going to be the costume that everybody, a lot of parents are going to be wearing.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I can see you and Emma doing that. You wear 7, she wears 6 or whatever.
I think in the, I don't know, thousands of
people
years.
People are predicting that I'm going to wear an FBI costume because, no, I can tell you it's not, it was a tease for a reason, so I shouldn't divulge more, but it is not related to the sports betting stuff.
It's not related to the FBI probe.
Now, that would have been a good one, too. That could have been a good one as well.
I like that they sent out a memo in the NBA today, and they said, we're going to really watch it now. You're like, okay. Ooh. I mean, good, I guess, but also that case. I think we've worn a matching costume like twice in the entire time we've been together.
913-586-7965. Someone says, let's see. Screw the haters. Halloween is awesome. My kids are Cookie Monster and Elmo on Big Bird. Everyone loves it. Someone else said their wife and them have a BoJack Princess Carolyn set that they've used for several years.
Okay, so somebody's saying, like, I think, like, if I had 3 costumes in rotation, I probably only make a Halloween costume party once every 3 years. That should set me up for a while.
So my plan for Friday, because I knew you were going to be in costume, I'm like, well, I can't just not be in costume. But I didn't want to buy a new costume, is I am repurposing an old costume.
Okay.
I'll show you on Friday. Okay. In a way where I only had to buy one additional thing in order to make the costume.
Now, why did you have to add to
work? Well, because like I had the costume, but it felt like on this show, on video, I've worn that costume. And it felt like if you were going to get a new costume, I shouldn't just necessarily be in the same thing.
Oh.
So I have bought one additional item that will make that costume different.
Okay.
It's now not the same costume. It is the same base layer of costume, but it's different. So if you want to see us in our costumes, Friday at Community
America. You have to go out to Community America Credit Union. Join us for a little Red Friday tailgate.
A lot of people, I will say, my only rule for Halloween, I'm not a hater on adults and Halloween. I know lots of people who like it. I don't care. I'm glad you have a thing that you really enjoy. My only stance is when you're dressing up little kids, so like 2, 3, 4 years old, you don't get to dress up as the main character and them side characters. So like, you don't get to be, Woody and they're the slinky dog. No, they get to be Woody. They get to be the main character. They're not side characters, I guess is my opinion of the matter. And you're the main like slinky character. Though, you
know? Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. What if
they're
they
two?
Really,
I just said they're 2 years old. They don't have an opinion.
What if there's a sign that that's the character they like more?
If they really love it, I'll allow a pass. But I see far too often, like, they're the main characters, the parents, and then the kids are the side characters.
Drew, will you on camera, obviously we're on remote, but will you, while you're in front of the camera here, will you be in costume on Friday?
I haven't wore a Halloween costume in a very, very, very long time. I can't tell you the last time I wore a costume for Halloween.
No fun, man. Why don't you get in a costume? Will you this Friday figure out something?
You want me to get in a? You want me to get a costume at Spirit Halloween for?
You don't have to.
Friday?
I don't want to spend that kind of dough. But like,
if you have something to come up with,
is there something you can like figure out? You know, I'm open. That's it. That's my random.
I mean, somebody said I could take the shirt off.
Yeah, go with the. I don't know what costume you're going with. Were you shirtless? But I'm sure there's plenty of characters.
What would the character be in that?
Myself, I don't know.
Yeah. That's not a costume. Well, the best shirtless Halloween costumes.
I don't know. I'm not a big... See, it's weird because, like...
Aladdin is being suggested?
I'm not a big...
it's just the best, right?
I'm not a big, like, Halloween person. Like, and it's something against the holiday, but I don't... Like, I'll the candy and stuff is great, but I'm not a... I don't celebrate All Hallows Eve as it is, you know? I'm not...
You know. I got kids. We go out
I'm
for
like
Halloween.
J. Cole. With all that I've seen, who needs another way to cause a scream? I hate Halloween. I don't like it.
Wow, this really shifted to, I hope you enjoy Halloween.
Like
J. Cole. Dude, it actually sucks.
I'm like
screw Halloween.
No.
I'm like J. Cole.
Deep down, like if you know that bar from J. Cole. With all that I have seen, who needs another way to cause a scream?
Somebody said,
I don't feel the desire to be like to get it. I don't get an adrenaline rush. I don't get the
nobody's
Cody. Psycho
you act
Halloween,
like Cody
you know?
And I are out here like
he thinks I'm like doing smelling salts and then going trick or treating door to door with my kids.
Yeah,
I've just never been a fan of it.
Drew,
it's fine. I'm not Bink where you can go and celebrate it. I'm totally fine with it. It's just not for me.
I'm literally wearing this on the remote, and that's the last time.
I gotta say, your stance of I don't need Halloween costumes to get attention to get the ego boost while posting selfies on Instagram. That's tough.
No, it's not even about it's not getting the ego boost. It's I don't feel the desire to do the haunted house thing or to do the
I don't like haunted houses either. Yeah. I've gone once, never again.
Never been.
I was miserable. Never again. I went to the Beast downtown or the West Bottoms or whatever. Never again.
Yeah. No,
went in high school once, Cody. I'm out.
No, I'm not Binkley where I hate the I don't like the holiday. Like I don't care for the holiday. Like Bink hates the holiday. Bink hates all of Halloween. I don't mind. If you want to celebrate it, that's all for you. Like it's not like me wearing a costume is not.
I did not expect the random question about Halloween to turn into J. Cole lyrics. I would never have predicted we would have got there whatsoever. Yeah. By the way, we are of course getting set for the Chiefs game tonight. And looking ahead a little bit, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off with Week 9 between the Chiefs and Bills, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, let's talk about the offensive line, which is shorthanded, and then a little stock up, stock down.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.